Welcome, everybody, to Capes and Scowls West.
West.
Issue 24.
Woo!
I am one of your hosts, Nat, and with me today is...
Pat!
And Kat in hat.
In hat. Yes. We have a... we're going to go right into it, just because there's so much to chat about, but we have some somber news to lead with. Anthony Bourdain, famous chef and TV personality, has been... apparently found dead in a hotel in France after an apparent suicide.
So, as of the recording, this is Friday the 8th, so he just was found this morning in his hotel room. I don't know. Anthony Bourdain is such a cool guy.
Damn, what a way to go out in, in France. Jeez, he even goes out poetically.
Well, and apparently he was filming.
Yeah, they were making new episodes of No Reservations.
My favorite chef personality, Eric Repair, actually was the one who supposedly found him. So
really,
Shit.
Well, I mean, if you like know anything about it, you know he's had such a history of like depression and drug use and like
two failed marriages at this point.
He has the tragic life of a great writer, yeah. Which is what he is. Which is unfortunate.
I mean, honestly, it's just kind of taking to a point since, you know, just as somebody who deals with stuff like that, if you have somebody to go to or you have no one to go to, call someone, do anything, and no one's going to want to see something like that happen to you. So, you know, small PSA.
Yeah, my wife and I have a very strong relationship towards the television and the cooking of Anthony Bourdain. We've spent a lot of time watching shows that he's produced or that he stars in and, you know, has really fueled.
He's been on Top Chef a few times and I just remember him talking and I'm just
mind
like,
of a chef.
Damn.
He was, I mean, David Chang as a chef is, obviously he's an amazing chef and one of the best in the world, but as a personality, he was really launched by Bourdain through other shows and, you know, Bourdain's involvement with things like, Avec Ike, Mind of a Chef.
Yeah.
It's really weird. My wife actually tried to soften the blow. She came home from work this morning to make coffee for me to tell me about it. And I actually, as I was researching news for today's episode, ran into that. Pretty somber tone to start the day.
Yeah, but we definitely have to give a shout out to such a great figure of pop culture.
Yeah.
You know, at this point, like, you know, you don't really think of, like, cooking, but it's kind of becoming, like, a pop culture thing, and Anthony Bourdain being one of the big names in it, and such a generally good guy, too. Yeah. You know, like, Guy Fieri died, I wouldn't give a shit, but, like...
it's way too much shit for no reason.
Anthony Bourdain.
Like I said, like I kind of
will be dearly missed.
I said a little bit, too. He's our Gordon Ramsay. He's one of the guys you don't talk...
He tells you
exactly what it is and what he feels, and he
also just
care.
Like listening to him talk, he's like such an intelligent guy, and like No Reservations in a lot of his shows like look at more of like the cultural context of like the food that is produced.
Yeah.
So like he's not just looking at the food, but like you know, culture.
Why is the food that way? Why is you know what formulated this? The culture. What is
he doesn't ever seem to open his mouth unless he has something important to say.
Yeah. And he's not, you know, he's not pretentious about it. You know,
no.
The guy still loves his, or had loved his New York hot dogs, you know, like the cheap $1.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Just papaya dogs.
Well, no, because at the heart of it, he was an American. He's like, you know what it is? I need a hot dog. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. You need a hot dog.
Yeah.
He's a New York transplant, but definitely a New Yorker. You know?
Yeah.
Alright.
Oh well. Let's move on to something a little bit more
happier news.
Yeah, so we'll move right into some comic book related stuff. We actually got a lot of comic news today.
Mm-hmm.
DC has announced a relaunch of the Vertigo line with it starts with the Sandman universe, which we've known about for a little bit. But, Neil Gaiman is launching the Sandman universe. But there are seven titles. I'm just going to run them down real quick. We have Border Town by Esquivel and Ramon Villalobos. That was a tough name. Hex Wives by Ben Blacker and Mirka Andolfo. Man, I'm sorry, artists.
Probably going to have to ask about that one. That sounds interesting.
American Carnage by Brian Hill and Leandro Fernandez. Goddess Mode by Zoe Quinn and Robbie Rodriguez. That's probably the highest on my list. High Level by Rob Sheridan and Barnaby Bagenda. Safe Sex by Tina Horn and Mike Dowling. Sorry, that's just a great name for a title.
See, I'm just, like, sitting over here, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to go stand outside and burn my money, if you'll excuse me.
Well, what's great is the Safe Sex cover, like, the title card has the male-female bathroom symbols, and then it's two women kissing on the cover.
That is the safest sex you can have in all reality, no babies. Just saying, I know from experience.
Second Coming by the great Mark Russell, which we you know, exit stage left in Flintstones.
I feel like that's kind of a bad place to put Second Coming after Safe Sex.
Like, you know what would be funny?
Richard Pace is the artist on that one. Sorry. I want to talk about that one really quick because the log line's pretty short. So God sends Jesus to Earth in hopes that he will learn family trade from Sun Man, an all-powerful superhero who is like the varsity quarterback son God never had. But upon his return to Earth, Christ is appalled to discover what has become of his gospel and vows to set the record right.
Oh my God, yeah. It's a Jeebus.
That sounds awesome. Please tell me this is like gritty Jeebus, like, I have to make things right.
He's like Batman,
hold on. It's Jesus coming down and having to learn from Superman how he's supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's pretty great as a concept. And it's Mark Russell. I mean, come on.
So, take my money.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely getting that one. Mark Russell can do that around at this point.
This is a really interesting relaunch. Based on the solicits, it's a very, like, social-heavy list of titles.
It seems that way.
So, great.
I'm interested to see what they do with Jesus a little bit. If I'm going to say this, and it's stupid. It's Pride Month. I can say whatever I want. If they don't bring up some sort of homosexuality aspect in that, I will be sourly disappointed.
I really wanted to take, like, the black Jesus approach, and every time he has to say, God damn it, he's like, Pops, damn it.
Oh, man. But it's the same writer as Exit Stage Left and Flintstones. You know, it's going to hurt, though. That's what it means to you. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to have some pain.
For sure. Yeah. Oh, you're telling me that the Flintstones and Snagglepuss are, like, you know, very light, easy reads?
Oh, I will be reading that. And that's like Handmaiden, except with witches.
That's fantastic. Is it the Mirka Adolfo one? Like the Hex Mages or what?
The Hexwives?
Hexwives. The other one, Goddess Mode, is about, like, our society where we have, like, godlike androids around. So that looks really interesting. The story centers around the maintenance person who has to, like, fix
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Yeah, there's a, like, that's a cool launch. Vertigo is known for being out of left field, but the stuff that's stuck around has been Sandman and Hellblazer.
Well, that's horrifying.
Fables. So the pedigree of Vertigo and to see DC, like, going headstrong into it is really...
Dude, Safe Sex is brutal, man. That's actually one of the last things I expected from DC Image, maybe.
That's Vertigo. I mean, that's the point is DC understands, or at least seemingly they understand how to market to the different audiences that they appeal to.
I enjoy the fact that Jesus looks like this.
Well, that's a Amanda Connor cover. But
Is it brown Jesus? It's not... Is it blonde hair, blue-eyed Jesus, or is it, like, actually, like, authentic hair, Jesus?
It looks like Buddy Christ from Dogma.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But, this one's actually interesting. I might actually have to read that and see how that goes.
Do you want to take a look at some of the solicits?
Safe Sex looks freaking
I'll read some of those later. Yeah. Thank you.
They all look crazy, actually.
Cool, yeah. That sounds awesome. I'll definitely be flipping through those.
For sure. What do you got, Pat?
I guess starting out, I have a bit of follow-up on some news on the previous episode. So we were discussing the potential Miss Marvel movie that's in talks right now. So things have progressed a little bit on Twitter in that at least... Riz Ahmed tweeted at Mindy Kaling and Kumail Nanjiani that they should all team up and write the Miss Marvel movie. And so Mindy Kaling actually tweeted back at Riz, and she was like, I'm a huge fucking fan of Miss Marvel.
Nice.
Like, she's apparently been reading the series since issue one. And then Sana Aminat, I think I'm mispronouncing her last name, but the editor of Ms. Marvel, she then tweeted at Mindy Kaling and was like, yo, if you want to come in and team up with G. Willow for, like, a special issue, like, we can always, if you're in New York, you know, drop on by. And Mindy was like, hell yeah, like, next time I'm in, around that way, I'll drop on by and we can talk about a potential, like, co-written, one-off issue.
You just hear
crashing in the background as I walk out.
And so, if she does that, then that might be, like, a precursor for her writing the Ms. Marvel movie, which would be awesome, because Mindy Kaling's awesome.
Well, what nationality is Mindy Kaling? Is she Indian?
I want to say that she might be Pakistani.
She might be Pakistani as well.
Hello, Google.
Either or. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't want to be culturally insensitive. Yeah. It's just knowing that Kumail, specifically, he's Pakistani.
He is. I know that Riz Ahmed is Pakistani as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's British, but...
I mean, she's an American actress, so she's from America. I don't know what her heritage is, and apparently nobody else does.
Like Aziz Ansari always. I'm from South Carolina.
God, Parks and Rec. Sorry, that's a side conversation.
I think he's from India.
Oh, shit, I didn't realize she had a kid either.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was like the last season of, or the last season that actually aired on NBC. Anyway, we're like, so, that's really cool, yeah. And it's a big hope that, putting the people behind movies like this with the actual history and background. I think that Wonder Woman and Black Panther show you that, you know, get people who are culturally involved in the cultures that exist in these stories, mm-hmm. and you get something that's deeply personal and also incredibly enjoyable.
Yeah. So, because not only does she have that background that would be, you know, perfect for writing a Ms. Marvel, but she's also just a great writer in general. Exactly. Like, her show, like, all of her stuff that I've seen, it's spot on.
I didn't really realize how many movies she was in. She was in Despicable Me, Wreck-It Ralph, Inside Out. I didn't know that. I didn't think about that.
Oh, yeah. You named three animated films.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
She's a voice actress, yeah.
Yeah, so. I just don't ever realize how much she's in.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of writers do that, too, like, where they do voices.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. don't show me.
Yeah, right, exactly. I need to be in my pajamas. Well, I'm recording.
Yeah, exactly.
The only way I feel comfortable.
I can never get out of my bathroom.
Okay, yeah. Her parents are from India.
Okay, so she's Indian.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Cool.
Dude, her parents, man. She's like a small genius, apparently. Like a brainchild, because her dad's an architect and her mom's a freaking OBGYN.
Wow.
Nice.
She's like, I'm going to write.
Seriously. And a fantastic actress on top of that.
I was just like, damn, dude. Yeah. I got nothing.
She's in Ocean's 8, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going to be
Which actually
Ocean's
looks
8.
Really cool.
It does look really
cool. I love me some
really
Sandra
good.
Bullock.
I know.
She's in a movie. I'm like, I'll be there.
And Riri.
I'm sorry, just like a quick aside on that one. The whole thing where they're arguing and Rihanna just pulls the plug on the thing.
Oh,
like, what happened?
God.
I turned it off, you know?
Yeah.
So real world. Anyway, sorry.
I'm
sorry. Anytime I think of Rihanna, I just think of Battleship, and that movie's terrible.
All right, well, definitely moving on.
Somebody saw Battleship?
Anyway. It was on TV.
I assume the editor had to see it, right?
Maybe. Judging by the quality of the film, potentially
I'm
not.
I'm pretty sure the remote was on the other side of the room, and there weren't
just
commercials.
Like this big budget box office movie, and then just like cuts like in the middle of dialogue and stuff.
That's awesome.
Oh man! All right, so what else do you have for us, Matt?
Marvel announces as Guardians of the Galaxy.
I saw that.
Which is their new Guardians of the Galaxy comic book, which has nothing to do with the Guardians. It's the kind of Asgardian misfits.
Oh, Asgardians.
Asgardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
Just sounds like Asgardians, which is probably the whole point of why they did that.
Oh, I just did a rap.
I thought it was like like an introductory, like, dependent clause.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, I thought it was like, it's like, as Guardians of the Galaxy, comma,
oh,
we will then
gotcha.
Save the galaxy.
So, as Guardians of the Galaxy, dot, dot, dot.
Yes.
Oh, okay, got it.
So, yeah, okay.
As Guardians, as in, of Asgard. But yeah, it's like, it's led by Angela with the original Valkyrie, not movie Valkyrie. Boo. Should be movie Valkyrie, by the way. Throg. Destroyer and I forget the character's name. The one that was played by Carl Urban in Ragnarok, and I just spaced it. The character that he was playing. But anyway, it looks...
Google's our friend this morning.
It's like they're the defenders of the galaxy in, you know, so they're defending Marvel space, and it's a bunch of Asgardians. Cool concept.
Nice. Yeah, nice.
I forgot who the writer is, too. I'm just off my game today. So early morning.
You've only had 4 cups of coffee right, so exactly. far.
I need that 6th to yeah. be where I need to be.
You're like, I'll get there. I just need 6 more.
Yeah, stay tuned for our next episode where now we'll have had 2 more cups of coffee.
Stay tuned to our next episode where I'll have to take a potty break.
Oh, man. We really should just get, like, some trucker pills.
Oh, God. Oh, wait, man. So we're not doing a comic review today because we're going to go long on some stuff. So I'm going to just decide right here. I drove back from Reno recently, and I had a Red Bull for the first time in, like, 10 years. Wow, it does give you wings, but holy hell will I not drink that stuff ever again.
It's like having cocaine, but it's legal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, other news.
I'm sorry, meth.
I'm just going to go top to bottom. It's nothing. No particular order. So, they've been releasing a couple Luke Cage Season 2 teaser trailers recently. I don't think I've seen a full theatrical trailer yet, but they just recently released one this past week featuring Misty Knight and Colleen Wing together.
Oh!
And they're just like in a bar, and the guy starts giving Misty shit, and then, you know... ends up,
chaos ensues.
And she throw him through a window.
Well, it's actually like a really good fight scene because she like goes to throw him and then like goes to like punch him, but this is like still before she has her mechanical arms, so she kind of like takes a step and like swings her like little stump and kind of like stands there and looks for a second. It was really good. And then there's like she's like fighting 3 guys still with just like 1 arm, and Colleen is just like sitting there at the bar just waiting for seeing if she needs any help or anything.
That's awesome.
You
I
let
really
me know.
I hope they actually call them the Daughters of the Dragon at some point.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But I think I've seen a couple like test shots where she does have the mechanical arm too, so
that's awesome.
So it looks like we're gonna get like badass fucking Detective Misty Knight.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. I didn't see any of those trailers yet. I still haven't watched all of Luke Cage Season 1. I'm pretty behind on Netflix viewing. There's so much stuff now that they've got coming out.
Oh, man. It's insane. Luke Cage Season 1 is...
I've just been watching, like, Mulan on repeat.
Nice.
Dishonor on your whole family! Dishonor
on you, on your cow! That's awesome. I started watching Lost in Space.
I stopped watching Lost. What else do you have for us, Nat?
I've got some comics crossover news. Tom King is to be a guest on NBC's Late Night with Seth Meyers.
I saw that. This coming week, right?
Yeah, this Tuesday. He's going to
be that person. I hate Seth Meyers, though, so part of me is like...
Yeah,
he's a good interviewer, though.
Well, and this freaks me out. I'm glad I read this news before Final Order Cutoff, because Batman number 50 is what's going to be promoted, and that's the wedding issue of Batman and Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know my ordering is going to be so hard.
I feel like Stephen Colbert would be a much better person to interview Tom King about.
Yeah, or...
Or any comic book related thing.
Who's a... Oh, man, my brain is just...
Really I hate up. To be this person, but part of me is just kind of like, you know, before I am crucified here for what I am about to say, because he is nuts, but at the same time, he knows about comic books pretty well, surprisingly, but Milo Yiannopoulos might be a good guy, too. Don't crucify me.
Yeah, but he also doesn't have a late show.
He does, but it's not here.
Who does the Tonight Show now?
Jimmy
Fallon,
Fallon
right?
Jimmy
he would be
Kimmel?
Like Jimmy Fallon.
I don't like Kimmel.
Fallon would be the one I would, because he does the video game segments too. Like he,
that's true. He does do a lot of that.
But I mean, it's
either way, it'll be pretty cool.
Yeah,
I'll definitely watch that.
I think it's cool that we're approaching this so fast too. That the wedding, if they're billing it, they better actually get married. You know, like the way that they're doing all this.
wouldn't that be
that would be so screwed up.
You just see me outside. Cat, are you okay? I don't want to talk about it. There's just a fire in my
just
backyard.
Just the last few pages of the issue. They're in the middle of the wedding, and you know, does anybody object? And Alfred's like, "Yeah, I object." And Batman's like, "Ah, damn it."
Yeah, it's like,
oh well.
See
you outside. See you
why
around.
Is there,
I guess.
Why is there a fire here? Don't ask.
Yeah. See you around, I guess, Selena.
Right? Oh, God.
Oh, man.
I mean, he is his best friend.
Yeah.
In other news, I've seen that, it looks like the Crow movie is in a little bit of a bad spot, so, Sony Pictures was talking about doing a Crow movie, or a reboot of The Crow with Jason Momoa, but it looks like they're gonna have kind of a hard time doing that since the writer, director, and Jason Momoa have now left the film.
Yeah, and part of me thinks they're doing something super wrong if they all walked out at once. I'm like,
well, it's like they all have other projects, and it's like you're putting something on hold for X number of years. And
well, it sounded like the main thing was like I was reading an interview with the director, and I'm forgetting his name right now, but he was saying that there was just like creative differences between him and Sony. Because he was like saying how he's such a huge fan of that and wanted to do it like raw from the comics.
Oh, really? And, okay.
That's not surprising
and
at
so,
all.
And so, and then Sony was like, and then like he was saying, they all have other things they can be doing. And so he's like, I don't want to have this argument with you. Like, you asked me to make this movie, and now you're telling me that you don't want me to make the movie. You want to make the movie, so you can make the movie.
Yeah, hopefully.
That sounds honestly on par with them, considering everything that they honestly put out.
Yeah.
They haven't, you know, most of the time, they've gotten Spider-Man movies wrong how many times.
Right.
Yeah.
And then
we'll see what happens with Venom, you know.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is they take Venom and turn his entire origin story on its head, so it's, that doesn't surprise me in the least, where he's like, I want to stick to the comics. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Actually, and this is one of those where I would veer away from the comic, unless you're going to do, I'm still holding to that do a female Crow.
Yeah.
Do something different with it.
I feel like that would be way more horrifying, too.
Well, I think at least,
precedence in the comics, too.
I think at least, like, he was going to pull from, like, the comics directly, instead of just doing a
remake of a movie.
I don't remember what it was, but they're like, they flipped through it. They're like, all right, I got this, let's go.
Yeah. the reading the cliff notes. Anyway.
Yeah.
I got a similar comic book movie news stuff, too.
Okay.
So, apparently, Jared Leto's Joker is going to get his own movie.
I saw that. I'm assuming this is going to be different from Joker origin story.
Well, they're saying that he's still going to do it, too. And I'm like, I don't want to participate with you.
I don't want either of these movies.
No, I don't want anything. Just go away.
I think they could do a good job with the origin one if they do get Leonardo DiCaprio. Joaquin
Phoenix.
Yeah.
Oh, Joaquin was talking about it. That's right. I don't know why I was thinking Leonardo.
Scorsese's sort of involved or was involved at some point.
That could be a really good movie. Potentially, depending on how they go. A Jared Leto Joker movie, I don't want that.
See, and I would actually want them to put Jared Leto in that movie and have, because that's supposed to be set in the 80s, and it would cause a really weird, like, time issue and would make the Joker seem
immortal.
Really, like, sort of scary. Like, and then they could retcon things where, like, they literally could just have him, like, wipe away the tattoos and stuff. Like, they could really make that Joker a lark and something that's, like,
technically,
over time.
Technically, there's three, isn't there?
In the comics, there are three. That hasn't really been super touched on. I think Doomsday Clock might be something that helps with that. I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see.
Either way,
I don't want to see these movies. I don't need another Suicide Squad. I want Margot Robbie back as Harley, but, like, in a Harley film where Joker's the villain? Like, something.
I want a Poison Ivy effect with Harley Quinn in a movie, and I'm fine.
Gotham City Sirens, that would be the movie I would
watch. I mean, let's just cut out the rest of Suicide Squad and have, like, Deadshot and Harley Quinn, do a movie.
That would be awesome, you have a jealous Joker as the villain. Like, that would be a cool story.
I just don't.
Like a weird love triangle
movie.
Like, action love triangle.
And then you meet Ivy at the end, and that's who she leaves with.
They're like, yeah, speaking of Joker origin story. I'm like, no. How do you not understand the whole point of Joker is no one knows his origin?
We're gonna talk about trailers here pretty soon, and one that dropped today leads us to believe we don't want the origins of the villain, of the monster. Give us more of the story with the monster in it.
Yeah.
That's exactly the failure of Rob Zombie's movie. We talked about that earlier today.
So, all right, next.
Next.
Yeah, let's see. What else do I have? Oh, yeah, so it looks like MGM is interesting, or is in the works for making an animated Addams Family film.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Yeah, and apparently they have Charlize Theron as Morticia.
I was like,
so.
And the worst casting ever, Oscar Isaacs as Gomez. Do you want to know why that's the worst casting ever? Is because he should be playing Gomez in a live-action Addams Family movie. Because, good God, he would be perfect.
I don't know who Oscar Isaacs is.
Poe Dameron from Star Wars.
Oh, okay.
The lead crazy guy in Ex Machina.
Okay.
I'm just like, sitting. You said Charlize Theron, and I'm like, well, I'll be seeing that movie.
Yeah.
It looks, I mean, it looks cool.
And I think, like, I think Nick Kroll is supposed to play, like, I'm forgetting off the top of my head. Uncle
Fester?
Uncle Fester, yeah, that's right.
That's kind of
funny. I love Charlize Theron. I swear to God, she can do anything. I'd be like, I'd watch a movie for eating a sandwich.
I
actually kind of like Snow White and the Huntsman. Don't judge me. She was great in that movie.
I like the second one more. Really? I haven't seen I like the second one. I like Emily Blunt a lot.
Yeah, me too.
So, and when she did that, she shows up, I'm like, my heart was cold and you melted it with your acting.
I don't want to watch that movie.
You're welcome.
Yeah. What can I say?
Atomic Blonde. Anyways, moving on.
Yeah.
Cool. I mean, that's a sweet. I do, and I hope that Kat doesn't know this news yet so that I can get a nice, really good reaction. So, Jason David Frank is involved with Boom Studios for a mini-series called Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, The Soul of the Dragon, which is centering on an old Green Ranger, Tommy Oliver. And they're going to be doing a mini-series that he's consulting with them on.
For those of us who don't know who that is.
That's the original Green Ranger from Mighty Morphin
Power Rangers. No, not Tommy, The
Jason David Frank?
Yeah.
Is the original Green Ranger.
Yeah, okay. The OG Green Ranger.
Okay. Like,
so they actually...
He's going to be at Denver Comic Con. I'm also going to Salt Lake City Comic Con, and he'll be there. I'm going to have, like, a very hard time not seeing him both times, as well as the fact that the Pink Ranger is also going to be there, too. And I'm like, I want a picture with both of you, because my life would be perfect.
They designed the character, and it looks like him. They made it look like him now,
well,
with
even,
his
even
spiky
in,
hair.
Even in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers and Go-Go Power Rangers, or not Go-Go, Mighty Morphin, it
Cat's
sort of
freaking
looks,
out right now.
I can't process. I'm like pitching. I want all of those and their variants. Moving
no
anyways,
joke, right?
But anyways, no, even in the comics, it sort of looks like him when he was younger. It's really interesting. He's been in so many Power Rangers things. It's like he was there for a long time, and then he came back. I literally watched the Dino Thunder Power Rangers because he was in it.
Yeah.
And I was like touching on my soul, and then the episode where they go back and he finally gets his Power Ranger powers is the Black Power Ranger. Oh God. And I want to go watch it.
He's been a really great ambassador for the Power Rangers being a show that kids can love and that the stories can be, you know, geared in any direction. You give me Dark Knight Returns Power Rangers and it's Tommy Oliver, I am 110% all over this. This sounds so cool to me. So
no, I did not know that, but I will be buying all the variants.
I'm all over that one.
Power Rangers is like I have my Power Rangers hat.
Listeners out here, when Shattered Grid gets collected as a trade paperback, you need to read this story. It is really, like,
especially if you're a Power Rangers fan. Like, I haven't seen all of them. I stopped watching them a few years ago because they, I mean, obviously I'm
there's
I'm,
30 I'm, series at this point.
Yeah, I'm also 24 years old, and there comes a point where your girlfriend walks in, she's like, why are you watching Power Rangers? And you feel a little embarrassed.
It's like, it's okay to read Power Rangers, but watching the show at this age,
she's like looking at me, and I'm like, I love you, baby. And she's like, I'm gonna go work on stuff. Okay.
I know Pat's over here like, whatever.
Yeah. I just
it's
like,
a,
like
it's a nostalgia, it's a nostalgia thing. When I was five, I was a pink Power Ranger.
I think and
this is gonna sound, because I'm so excited.
This is gonna sound like, you know, total fandom defense of, but my nerd's better than your nerd.
You're right.
The way that they've handled the crossover of Shattered Grid is very much how crossovers should be handled. Two titles, a third, like annuals and like little one shots over the course of the 6 months. So you're not inundated with so much stuff.
As well as the fact of no bullshit of having 14 things after it. Like, the Hunt for Wolverine. Now we have the Return of Wolverine.
You know how much I love Batman, but the idea that there's a one-shot every week prelude to the wedding, come on. We don't need all that stuff.
No, Boom. I will say Boom knows what they're doing, and the fact that they took over Power Rangers, and what I get from it is just... It's beautiful.
They better keep the license with this whole Hasbro deal. Yeah, that they hope that Boom keeps the comics because they're doing a great job.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Well, that's the last news I have. Pat, do you have anything else?
Yeah, I just have one, last bit of news, actually. So I've mentioned this to you before we started, but Fooly Cooly season 2:Progressive just aired this past week. Episode 1, if you have a cable, you can just watch them on AdultSwim.com right now. And, man, I'm a huge fan of the original miniseries, and the show just... Oh, man, I need to go back home, actually, after this and, like, rewatch the first episode.
It's, like, the one thing I'm super jealous of when it comes to TV, because everybody's like, oh, yeah, Incredibles 2, and I just keep seeing this thing where it's like, all right, all you adults with kids, this is not for them. This is for us. We waited for 13 years. And it's like...
the same thing with FLCL. Yeah. It's like, we've been waiting for this.
Yeah. You don't get to do this.
Yeah, fans have been waiting for this, I guess, for 18 years at this point.
It's like Cardcaptor Sakura. People have been waiting like 18, 19 years for this shit.
Yeah. First time I saw it, I was in college. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. 18 years. 18 years. It takes them 18 years to make a second season.
So definitely worth it.
Definitely worth it. I don't know, like, where it's going to go. It still has the same, like style, I guess, to it.
Also, next, you know, there's one more piece, too. Yeah. But keep going, sorry.
Yeah, it still has the same, like, style to it. Like, just weird dialogue.
How many that's years kind of off-putting. Further does the story take place in?
There's no... like specific thing, like the only character so far that is a holdover from the original is Harahara Haruko.
Oh, really?
And we only see her at the very end of the first season, and then she looks into the camera and say, she finally reveals herself
hilarious.
She pulls off like this mask. And so yeah, now I think it's supposed to be like 5 years or something afterwards, but now I haven't seen him yet. I think we might have seen him, but...
I remember that initially with that first, I guess, trailer, the weird, like, basically it was a music trailer more than anything else, there was the idea that maybe Naota was like 30 years old-ish and like had kids even, so...
Yeah, I think that's kind of what it was pointing at. And then there's another... I don't even know what to call Harahara, but there's like another one of her.
Whatever, like, alien race.
Yeah, whatever alien race she is, yeah.
Because once again, like, great anime, not answering a lot of questions.
Yeah,
also, you
know? Yeah.
Things happen.
Yeah, I don't have any.
Things happen.
Yeah, if you're looking for a show that gives you lots of answers in the end, probably not. But if you want to watch a show about people hitting teenagers with cars and then. guitars
and irons turning into giant robots.
Yeah, and giant irons turning into giant robots.
Yeah,
and baseball.
And lots of baseball.
Oh my god!
Then this is the show for you.
Can I take drugs?
oftentimes, when you watch FLCL, that's how you feel.
Yeah, there's definitely, and especially because the season opens up on like an unspecified dream sequence too.
Oh,
so you
God.
Definitely don't. You definitely all don't right. need it.
All right. Well, I'm gonna. Actually, I lied to you. I have one bit of news I forgot about.
Liar.
Yeah, I know. Right. So GameStop is set to start selling comic books.
Yes.
They're gonna start with Marvel and DC, with maybe a little bit of Image and IDW sprinkled in. It's a trial period with 20 of their main stores and 20 Think Geek stores, which I didn't realize Think Geek had a partnership with.
Yes,
GameStop,
they do.
The
that
company.
Makes sense because they have a lot of stuff in there that's from Think Geek. So that's
It looks like they're just gonna have a spinner rack, but then they're also looking to get exclusive variants. Great for comics, bad for small businesses like Griffin Games and Comics. I don't know how to feel about this, because getting things in front of people is always good for the comic book industry. I don't understand how back issues are going to work with the spaces that they have, what this is going to look like.
I honestly just, like, standing here from, like, you know, fun fact, I'm, like, an inventory specialist, and I have been for most of my working career. Just on an inventory base, I have no idea how that would work for them.
Yeah. Well, they're working with Diamond, so this is...
Mm-hmm. I was talking to somebody here at Griffin yesterday, actually, about it, and the same concerns were brought up that you just brought up about how this is going to look for, like, small realtors, if it ends up taking off, that is.
Yeah.
You know, right now it's obviously just going to be a trial run, and if it ends up being successful, what does that mean for small businesses? And I think, in my personal opinion, like, you know, rising tide... floats all ships, or however.
Yeah, totally. You're thinking it gets other people into.
Well, there's not currently right now a nationwide comic book retailer.
There isn't.
There are chains, sure, of comic book shops,
right?
But they're usually very small, and it'll be really interesting to see something like consistently across the country that you can just walk into
and see
a GameStop and buy comics. You know?
That's true.
Anywhere in the country, you can walk into a Barnes & Noble and buy books.
Right.
And you don't even have to, like, really think about it, you know?
Right.
So, like, anywhere in the country, you can walk into a GameStop and buy comics. And I think if that just generally increases the appeal of comics, then unless GameStop becomes huge, then it will end up getting fans into the market, and then they'll end up probably coming to more specialty.
Yeah.
Local well, and that's shops the thing is like looking
way
looking
more in depth about
at
that.
GameStop as well. There's no way in hell they're just gonna all of a sudden have a fucking wall dedicated to comics.
Well, they're saying it's a spinner rack.
Yeah. So they're gonna. The thing is, I'm pretty sure they're gonna do like more main titles, more stuff like that.
So then somebody comes into GameStop and buys Superman just because then they want it, and then they go and then they buy all the back issues.
Is like a little kid from like that little kid aspect. If I was a little kid and had the ability to like my mom won't let me watch Superman, the Animated Series, Batman. I love superheroes, but my mom didn't know where to go to take me to go get comics that were kid friendly. She didn't know what to do. So I'm thinking from like a kid perspective, you know, kid walks into the store, oh mom, look at this cool comic, and it's yeah. Like, you know, number one, and I think I get what you're saying, because yeah, I think it'll damage small businesses, but at the same time, I can't foresee them having like a fucking wall of comics, especially in this town.
I honestly can't see it damaging small businesses, because like only because like people who are comic nerds are not going to go to GameStop to buy their comics, especially initially.
But the thing that's going to save comic shops is new readers, and new readers are going to go to GameStop.
Yeah, they're not just going to fall into the comic book store like typically.
Which, I mean, if they don't have a subscription service, that's great. Like, that's actually helpful, because somebody can get their number one over at GameStop and then come here and get their subscription and actually come in and continually get stuff.
Yeah.
That's good. I kind of hope that they don't have me, essentially, at GameStop.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That person who is engrossed in the industry and, like...
If they just have a spinner rack, I don't think they're not going to hire comics
They're not. Like, honestly, when I'm just looking... GameStop, at the end of the day, like, yes, they're getting into all this other merch stuff, and it's mostly because they're trying to keep their business alive. They're trying not to go the way that Toys R Us is going, because they got to compete with Walmart and Target. So they're trying to find other ways to keep...
Best Buy.
Yeah, Best Buy. They're trying to find other ways to compete with them.
Yeah.
So that's why you're kind of getting all of this stuff. That's why they started getting so... That's why they partnered with ThinkGeek, stuff like that. They're just trying to keep alive. So I think, honestly, I don't think it's going to be like, oh, we have this wall of comics. Go check out... It's going to be... I think it's going to be forever a spinner rack.
Yeah. Too small.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, onward to Oh my god, why did so many trailers drop in this week and the week before?
Dude, like, I know, right?
This is absurd. So we're going to basically, this is going to be an excitement segment. This is bunch of trailers that we watched.
Next week's even worse, I honestly want to say, because we're going to have E3.
E3 starts today, right?
No, it starts Saturday.
It's Saturday?
Saturday is the first
Start on Fridays, so that we can talk about things.
Yeah, right. Saturday night, EA, which nobody cares about, so not really Saturday.
What?
Sunday, they'll start going, and that's when all the press conferences will happen. And then at the end of this week is Denver Comic Con.
Yep, next Friday, so a week from today.
Yep, I get to go.
Okay, anyway, so let's start with trailers. What we watched this morning was Halloween number one, or Halloween number one. Good lord, Halloween.
All right, Matt.
The new.
I'll slide you this copy.
Yes, seriously. Yeah, I ran out just now. The sequel to, we think, the first or the second Halloween.
I think it's supposed to be the second one because he hunts her for a second time when she's in that mental hospital.
Gotcha.
Because if I remember correctly, it's just supposed to pick up after John Carpenter's films. And did he do the third one?
He may have done the third one. I'm going to look up this stuff right now, but let's just general reaction.
Well, but the third one doesn't even have Michael Myers in it.
Right.
Anyway.
Okay, so it's the third one that's the weird one that exists.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so if anything, it'll probably just pick up after
my
the
mom's
second
a pretty
one with
big
him.
Halloween buff. I mean, that was like one of her favorite movies, and I know that she said, I was just talking to her, and she's like, he was never captured, and I was like, I'm pretty sure it's because it takes place after the second one.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, Halloween 2 has Laurie Strode in it, and the original cast as well, so.
I would like to fucking point out that she's a badass in this new
movie. Oh yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis is out for fucking blood.
Hell yeah.
Waiting, what, 30, 40
yeah,
years?
Yeah, 30 or 40 years. Practicing. And the whole time she's just, like, practicing shooting and stuff. And,
I'm pretty sure she even, like, shot him with, like, a freaking revolver Magnum 44. Yeah. I was like,
but
damn.
That was a scary trailer.
Oh, yeah,
like there's some
horrifying
stuff in there that the teeth moment.
Yeah, damn.
So yeah, I man.
And then of course the end,
the very end of the trailer
with the
like,
kid.
Oh, with the door. Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah, that was like they seem to be playing off of movie like the horror movie tropes in our more
in this. I want to say the 70s and.
Well, yeah, but then
there's no. I don't feel slasher from this movie.
No, but I feel like our smarter mindset, like the way that we watch movies now, where we know we anticipate, you can't surprise as much. So you know, it would have been an easy gag to just close the door and then all of a sudden the door opens and he pops out. That's how they would have done it in the 70s. But now we're so visually inclined. It's the push the door once, push the door twice. Get the door closed, like, why is it still not closing, and then open the door? Because we all know now. We know he's behind the door. Everybody knows as you're watching it.
It's that stereotypical, like, black family. Like, the horrible trope of them in the movie theater. Don't go in there!
Right? Don't go. Exactly. Like, we're all invested in that now. We're all yelling, everybody, don't go in there. Yeah. We all
and
know.
And then, you know, it's quite literally building suspense with us.
But we
like
all know
audience.
It's gonna happen!
Well, because that's exactly what we know is gonna happen. We're just like, do it! Just do it! Just get it over with! Just get
and
it over with!
Talk about using the original mask and having it sort of being decayed and...
Dude, well, no, they use it as this freaking trigger.
Yeah,
that's
it becomes
the horrifying. Part.
There's
I'm
a
getting
lot
over here. I'm getting twitchy over here.
I like the fact that this trailer it gave us a lot and didn't give us a lot. Like he's clearly in the asylum. His mentality freaks out the other patients, mm-hmm. and we know he escapes, but we don't know how. Is it a deliberate escape? Did somebody let everyone out? Mm-hmm. Like, there was a lot in that. This is a great first trailer.
No,
excuse me, hold my teeth. Wait, what?
Oh!
Yeah.
God, that moment is so visceral
and
weird.
Well, the best part is I'm pretty sure that's the original guy who played Mike Myers in the original movie, too.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Coming back to wear the mask again?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. Huh.
The shape returns. And Carpenter's back. He's not directing the film, but he's doing all of the music and he's producing.
I think he did the music in it, just the original song. He tweaked it, and I'm like,
that's
it's like remixed and stuff.
I'm like,
it's
this
really
is scarier.
Cool. Yeah.
Great trailer.
Very, like, really small thing, but I really liked the, like, panopticon style prison that he's in.
Oh yeah, where
they're all just like, it's basically just like one big yard, and they're all just like chained in like different sections.
Oh yeah, and he's just kind of like in a like well, a no, 10 by 10 grid freaking, that's cut out.
There was the
dog too. They had someone constantly standing right in front of him with a dog.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
and I'm like, I was actually kind of surprised I see dog teeth when he dropped those teeth. I was like, damn dude.
Ugh, that's creepy. Creepy.
Don't go in that room!
All right, we have a lot to get through, so we're going to go to Mortal Engines, which is the new Peter Jackson produced and co-written film. So it's Peter Jackson, Philippa Boyens, and Fran Walsh wrote this film based on the book series. And it's directed by Christian Rivers, who is actually the storyboard artist for most of Peter Jackson's stuff. So he does have the directorial eye, clearly. I mean, he's been doing the visual setups for the films for such a long time.
So it is a book series. It is a book series. Just watching the trailer, I could kind of tell. I've never heard of it before.
Right. Yeah, me neither. Just other than
that. I don't know, like book adaptations these days, you can kind of tell.
Yeah,
like,
they have that kind of feel to them.
I can't put my finger on it.
I like the visuals. I like the world building. I hope we get nothing more than it only took 60 minutes to almost wipe out humanity. That's it. I hope we get, that's all we get as far as the history of the world, so that like it's all we perceive. Because I think the best world building gives you that. Like Blade Runner is so good because it doesn't tell you much. Then there was World War III. The people who could afford it left. Yeah. The people who couldn't are still here.
Yeah,
like give you that much. Or like Avatar: The Last Airbender. Mm-hmm. We don't know what exactly happened prior to this, but we know that this is rich history. So. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the trailer quite a bit, actually. I thought it was fun.
It looked cool. I think there's like a, I'm a big fan, especially like of Miyazaki movies and stuff. So like you kind of have to be a big fan of like diesel punk sort of feel that is like super prevalent in this movie, you know, like giant cities rolling all over the place. And like, I was getting kind of like a, almost like a Mad Max feel from it too, just on a bigger scale. Instead of just cars, it's like entire cities, and instead of just the one crazy guy with like the helicopter, it's like giant airships and stuff.
I very much had the sensibilities of anime to me. Like there was you brought up Miyazaki.
It could be this buzzkill, but I don't know. I wasn't feeling it.
I was listening to something and they said, could this be the next Mad Max or is it going to be Jupiter Ascending? You know, like, because it could be, it could go either way. Is the audience who just goes to the movies based on a trailer going to see this film?
Mm-hmm.
Because nerd culture like us, we're probably going to have some level of interest in this anyway and give it a shot. But, like, does this appeal to the mainstream audience? It's got Hugo Weaving. It's got flashy names of, the directors and the people involved. So, good.
We'll see how it is, though. Yeah.
Next one on the list is Bumblebee.
Yeah, so I was telling Nat before we started recording that I lost interest in Transformers.
I've seen after Transformers 1 and 2.
Yeah. I've seen Transformers 1, so you guys got farther than I did.
Damn.
Well, I went to the theater to see number 2, and then I walked out.
I fell for the Linkin
after
Park
the first
songs.
15 minutes. That's when I found out the movie theaters have a terrible return policy because they're like, oh, we'll refund your money, but it has to be the first 15 minutes of the movie. And the first 20 minutes of any movie is taken up by the previews anyway.
Yeah, right.
By the time you actually start watching the movie, you can't even get a refund.
That's funny.
I wanted a refund.
Damn.
Yeah.
So, but the Bumblebee trailer actually looked really good.
Yeah. I think going smaller in scale, setting it in the 80s, and simplifying the design.
That was the 70s.
No, it's supposed to be. It was. They played Rick Astley.
Yeah, they did.
Never gonna give you.
Rickrolled.
I think the fact that the best part about that was Bumblebee got Rickrolled and who's not having it. But this is like an interesting tale of the girl and her dog. You know, like that's what it seems like.
Yeah, basically.
And her John dog happens Cena. To be her car. Yeah. John Cena looks like the villain, potentially, in the movie.
I love me some John Cena,
Starscream coming up there in the back. So.
I love John Cena. He should be in, like, every Mina.
He's pretty great, actually. But, this is a great trailer. Like, this, the look of it. Mm-hmm. I'm excited because it's the director of Kubo and the Two Strings.
Mm. So, is that who it is? Really?
So you have someone really from the animation world doing something that's going to be so animation heavy.
Yeah.
That should be really interesting.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting to see.
Cool. Really, really great visual. I think.
It's
good that it's getting the people in this room who don't want to go see a Transformers movie.
I think, like you were saying, like the smaller scale like, of it is actually going to do a lot. Is going to do a lot for the movie. It looks like it's really going to be a hugely character-driven movie, which I think the previous Transformers movies really don't do a lot.
If you're going to set a Transformers movie on Earth, this is the kind of movie I'm more excited about. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do a large-scale Transformers movie, why are humans in them?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Just to give us
some... Shia LaBeouf! Wait, what?
Just put it on Cybertron.
All right, anyway, let's hit up some more.
The next one was actually a little bit older, but it just had to be part of this the animation link we're seeing. Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Goddamn.
Wow.
I will be seeing this movie. My girlfriend's excited to see it.
The fact that it opens with the trailer for... Alfred?
Yeah, Alfred.
I'm going to clean this city of crime.
Sweeping in
the Alfred movie. Yeah, that's so
great. The tale of Batman's best friend.
Yeah, and Robin's all excited. Oh, man. Yeah, it's so good. I was cracking up, man.
The Jon Stewart joke.
Yeah.
The waffles.
Yeah, Adam. I think this right here, it looks like what Teen Titans Go has been missing for me, it's like entire time, which is an actual superhero story, mm-hmm. along with like its jokes and light feel right. to it.
Well, yeah, because that's how the show was.
Because I honestly like the Teen Titans Go style and humor.
Yeah, me too.
But it's just too stupid and silly sometimes.
I hate to say this, but it's like the Steven Universe and like the regular show paradigm. Like what's been working for Cartoon Network is the short form comedy based shows. And they, you divulged the Teen Titans series into that, and that's what worked.
Yeah. Yeah. But so it'll be really interesting to see that style with an actually good like plot and story and shit. Yeah.
I'm excited for it. I'm gonna go see it. It's gonna be great.
I also love like how beautiful it looks. Mm-hmm. We have, speaking of beautiful, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh wow!
Holy Spider-Gwen! Shit! And Spider-Gwen is just the tag in this movie where you're going already. Your jaw's on the floor by that point.
So watching this, like animation-wise, in the beginning of the trailer, I was like, I think I like this animation style.
That's exactly how I felt
towards
too.
The end of the trailer when we get to see the like high speed action scenes and like those like really beautiful, especially like the sequence of him just jumping off the building the whole time.
The thing that was making me like lose my shit as an animation student and fan was when he's running through the streets as Miles and the word balloons are coming up towards you. I was like, holy crap. I'm getting goosebumps talking about this.
And then when he's like jumping through the taxis and it's like bam boom.
Oh
pow,
yes. Like, and it's like you saw a little bit of this in the first teaser trailer, but like the dot matrix coloring that they have going over the top of things at times.
Yeah.
Like this is amazing.
That's one
and
then of the ones that was one weirding quick, me out because like, it like, happened in the very first scene. It was the laundry basket is where I caught the most.
And you get sometimes that like his face will have outlines like it was drawn in ink. I'm like, they are experimenting with what can be done in animation to do a comic book that is moving.
And then there's that one scene with, I think it might be the Kingpin, and there's just like an explosion.
Oh, yeah!
And like all the silhouettes of it. That's a beautiful shot.
I'm going to say
beautiful.
His dad's going to be the unsung hero.
Oh,
of that
my
movie.
God.
Yeah.
Say, I love
say
you back.
Say, I love you back.
And his dad's, and his dad's being played by Brian Tyree Henry, who's the Alfred from Atlanta.
That's awesome.
So,
say, I love you back.
This is one of those few moments where if somebody doesn't like this trailer, I am going to question, like, deeply why. Like, what is it? If you don't like animation, I get that. But, like, I will have to question, like, what's going on in
you
your
money,
head.
Right?
Yeah.
No, so, I'm super stoked. I didn't realize that Spider-Gwen was going to be in it. I was like,
I didn't either. And the whole, like, the cosplay at Comic-Con. What's Comic-Con?
See, the Comic-Con kid, what? Yeah. How many Spider-Men are there?
Yeah. Peter's pretty funny too, like old or 40-something like Peter. Yeah. It's like, you got money, kid.
What else? What's next?
Oh man, Lego Movie 2, the second part.
God damn.
Oh, I really hope they play off of the whole, like, these are actually the toys being played with, and they went with, like, the Mad Max toys and built the whole, like, desert sequence. Because the name of the galaxy thing at the end is like Sistar System.
Yeah.
So it's like literally the invasion of his sister.
Stop it!
No, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what it is. Because then like it shoots the heart. So like, I think it's going to be, because obviously it says like some time has passed that like the little sister who gets to build with the Legos is growing up too, and now they're that's like competing.
The best thing for me in this trailer is that intro. It's like, time has passed since the events of Taco Tuesday.
I didn't even realize though, like the music he's listening to. He's listening to this like
a remixed version,
a ukulele version of "This Is Awesome."
Everything is awesome. Yeah, that's so funny.
Everything isn't awesome.
the whole the flicking of the those signal lights, just great.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's like how he knows.
And do you want to talk about the gag or wait till after Wreck-It Ralph 2?
I think because I watched these trailers back to back, this one and then Wreck-It Ralph, so this will be a good transition. But the part when the thing is asking, gosh, I'm forgetting her name right now. The chick and
Vanellope.
Yeah. Oh no, Lucy.
Lucy. Yeah. And the robot's asking her, "Is like, so you were the master builder and you did all the fighting, but the hapless male was still the lead?" And she's like, "Yeah, I guess so." And then, ironically enough, going into Wreck-It Ralph 2, there was a scene with the Disney princesses and Vanellope. And a very similar thing happens where they're talking about just, you know, the patriarchy making you a princess, basically.
So that'll lead right in to Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Shouldn't it be Ralph Wrecks the Internet?
That was, like, everybody is thinking that at the moment that they ask the question in the trailer. Like, yeah, I mean, he's Wreck-It Ralph, right?
Yeah.
So good. The only thing that I'm worried about in this movie is that it's going to feel like Disney fan service throughout the film, but holy, the glass slipper.
Pick's jacket off. Yeah, I'm so offended by Disney fan stuff.
Well, I don't want it to literally just be like, we're Disney, so we're just going to throw every Disney thing at the wall. I love what's there. Speaking
of which,
that
sounds really weird, but I have like a bunch of Disney tattoos, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, when she comes in and she busts the glass slipper.
That made me, I lost my shit at that moment. Like the Cinderella looking like all snarled at us. Great trailer. Then the final one, since we are running. That, oh my god. The whisper of Vanellope. What a great voice acting moment.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't have much time left, so.
How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World.
Yes!
The reason I did it in this order was because How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, after watching that trailer, the only thing that compared was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, because nothing else felt like an original story. So much was very much meta or referencing, you know, pop culture. Mm-hmm. This is just pure storytelling. Interesting to know that this is the end of a trilogy, which I didn't know was happening.
Yeah, I didn't either, but yeah, damn, it looks like they're wrapping it up crazy. Yeah. Nat and I were going crazy with fan theories before this.
Because of course you lead with freaking Hiccup with a beard, and he doesn't look like that in the rest of the trailer.
Yeah, so. Older Hiccup, and so many questions.
The Light Fury, is that a different race of dragon entirely, or is that just that the females of the Night Furies look white? Like, what is this?
So many questions.
And, oh my god, the last sequence with Toothless doing the mating dance.
Oh, yeah.
I'm covering my eyes right now because it's so awkward.
Yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, yeah, we're so excited for all these trailers. Everything looks great.
And everybody bludgeon Kat for not seeing the first two How to Train Your Dragon movies.
There's reasons.
Everything is awesome.
None of them apparently are valid, which is slightly fair, but I don't know what you people want.
All right. Well, all right. With that, let's say bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.